So I raised the, whatever this thing is called, as high as it'll go, but that means it's a little wobbly, so we'll see how this goes. Okay, so our good evening, and our passage for this evening is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, and I'll start by reading it. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. All right, so let's pray. Dear God, we pray that you will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, that we'll be able to understand what you have for us this evening. We pray that your word will come forth clearly. We pray that you will work in our lives to help us to have true wisdom that comes from heaven, from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not sure how many of you have had the experience of thinking, being sure that you knew what a word or a phrase meant, and then finding out that you were wrong. This happened to me multiple times in my life. Most recently, we recently came into a car that we weren't expecting to have that was really dirty, and we were talking about how are we gonna get it cleaned. And Jeannie said, oh, well, there's an auto detailer down the road from our house. And I'm like, auto detailer? Those are the people that put like decals on your car and paint flames on the hood of the car and that kind of thing. That's what an auto detailer is. So we looked it up, and you know, she was right. They get cars really clean. I thought I knew, but I didn't. And so this passage in James, we might think that we know exactly what wisdom is, but the people that he's talking about here did not really understand what wisdom was. It turns out that auto detailing is actually a really apt example here. The point of auto detailing, as I looked it up on Wikipedia, you're trying to get the dirt off of the car so that the car lasts longer, so it doesn't rust and decay and fall apart. And the right kind of wisdom in our life keeps our lives from falling apart, especially our spiritual lives from falling apart. All right, so James 3, 13 through 18. A big question when you read this is, who is he writing to? Who are these people? Who is he writing to, and who are these people that have these different ideas of what wisdom is? So this is from the book of James, and in the first chapter, in the second verse, he tells us that he's writing to brothers. He calls them brothers and sisters. So he's writing to Christians. He's writing for the church. And there's some strong words in this passage that I just read, like demonic. But I think that he's still writing this to Christians and for Christians. I think this is a warning even for us. Do I think that Christians can become fully demon-possessed or something? No, but I think that he is warning us, don't go down the wrong path, because this is really serious. Let's see. So the context, chapter 3 and the first part of chapter 4 of James are dealing with conflict in the church. It seems like there were teachers in the church that were saying things that were causing problems. It seems like there was conflict. There were divisions in the church, And that seems to be the conflict that he's talking about in this section of the chapter. All right, so that's kind of some background. So here's the outline for this sermon. We're going to talk about earthly wisdom, and then heavenly wisdom, and then what makes the difference. Okay, so earthly wisdom, that'll be looking at verses 14 through 16. Heavenly wisdom, verse 13, and then 17 and 18. Notice that we're not going covering the topics in the same order as the verses. So we're going to start at the middle, go to the beginning, and then go to the end. Okay, so earthly wisdom, 14 through 16. Heavenly wisdom, 13 and 17 to 18. And then what makes the difference? We'll go back to verse 14. Okay? The main point of the whole sermon is that true heavenly wisdom comes from returning over and over again to the cross. True wisdom comes from returning over and over again to the cross. All right, let's start with earthly wisdom first. Starting in verse 14, James says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom," this is wisdom in quotes, "such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." So the main thing I want to get across in this section on earthly wisdom, obviously earthly wisdom is not good. So the main idea is that earthly wisdom sounds good to sinners, but opposes God and leads nowhere good. It sounds good to sinners, but it opposes God and leads nowhere good. All right, so who is it that's exhibiting earthly wisdom? I wish we could point to strangers that we don't know, but what he actually says is, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. This is an urgent warning for us. We need to listen to what James has to say. It could sound like he's overreacting a little, because he's making too big, like pushing things a little bit too far. I have a mathematical analogy that might be helpful. So an infinite, almost horizontal line that slopes down just a little bit ends up, if you go far enough, it ends up infinitely lower than this starting point, right? If it's pointing down just a little bit and it goes off to infinity, it gets infinitely low. So the trajectory of the line at this point determines its end point, right? If it's a straight line. So our decisions, this is not a perfect analogy, I understand that, but our decisions, good or bad, put us on a trajectory. They set the current slope of the line, how tilted it is. So James' urgent tone here warns us not to start down a bad trajectory. Don't do it. Earthly wisdom leads nowhere good. All right, so what are some of these false views of wisdom that people seem to have had, this earthly wisdom? Well, James says, do not boast about it. Do not boast about this kind of wisdom. So how could we boast about wisdom? Well, we might say something like, well, I'm cultured and intellectual. That means I am very, very wise. That's one way. We could say, my success in life, compared to yours, of course, means that I have something that you don't. Okay? This is boasting. And of course, this is completely contradicted by other parts of Scripture, like 1 Corinthians 4:7. Paul says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" So we should not. If wisdom makes us boast, it's not really wisdom. It's earthly wisdom. It's earthly, quote, wisdom. Secondly, he says, you harbor bitter envy in your hearts. The idea here is that people are using people are using wisdom, quote, wisdom, to push others down or to pull themselves up. But Paul, again, says contentment doesn't depend on our circumstances. Paul says, we're reading James, but this is from Paul. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The secret is Christ, of course. The secret to being content is Christ. So this bitter envy is completely different than godly or heavenly wisdom. Okay, so we're looking at false views of wisdom. We said wisdom that boasts is false. Wisdom that harbors bitter envy is false. Wisdom that takes advantage of others or pits different groups against each other is a false wisdom, an earthly wisdom. James says, you harbor selfish ambition in your heart. That word selfish ambition is sometimes used in Greek to talk about dividing into factions, into groups, pitting groups against each other. So obviously dividing people, especially in the church, divides the body of Christ, and it seeks personal gain at other people's cost. So clearly this is not a heavenly wisdom, this is earthly wisdom. So those are three kinds of earthly wisdom. Now, what does James say about earthly wisdom? What are his conclusions about it? Okay, so he's the one that uses the phrase earthly. So he says, this kind of wisdom is earthly rather than heavenly. That's in verse 15. So we as humans with indwelling sin like to call things wise that are actually not wise because it makes them look better than they really are. It makes us look better than we really are. So calling these things wise makes them seem honorable and good, but they're exactly the same ways of thinking that non-Christians have. And so this is not heavenly wisdom, this is earthly wisdom. He also says this kind of wisdom is unspiritual, also in verse 15. Unspiritual, it's directly opposed to what the Holy Spirit wants in our lives. It's directly opposed. And he says it's demonic in verse 15. So there are spiritual beings who are very happy to see this kind of wisdom, but unfortunately they're not the heavenly angels. They're certainly not God. They're the demons. So this is a very striking and urgent warning for us to be careful about what we're seeking after in life, what wisdom we're going for in our lives. All right, the next question about this earthly wisdom that we might want to ask is, what is the result of this earthly wisdom? Where does it lead? Verse 16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." He's basically saying that pursuing earthly wisdom makes things go from bad to really bad to really, really bad. It just keeps going downhill really fast. So there's really no way, it seems from this, there's no way to lead a properly ordered life if your idea of good living contradicts God and his purposes and contradicts Scripture. You can't lead a good life if the way that you're looking at the world is not the way that God has asked us to look at the world. So to conclude this section on earthly wisdom, pursuing earthly wisdom opposes God, opposes what is right and good and beautiful and true, and opens the door to everything that is the opposite, that's wrong and bad and ugly and false. The world sees this earthly wisdom as desirable, but Christians need to run away from it, get as far from it as we can. All right, let's turn to the opposite of earthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom. Let me read the section of the verses of this passage in James that have to do with heavenly wisdom. So verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." We're going to skip now to verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. All right, so what is heavenly wisdom? The main idea of this whole section on heavenly wisdom is that a biblical view of what is right and good and true and beautiful leads to a life truly well lived, a life that pleases God. That's from verse 13. So we've been, on Sunday mornings, we've been looking at Ecclesiastes, and there's a lot of information and exhortation about being wise in the book of Ecclesiastes. But we've also seen that there are wisdom sayings that seem almost opposite each other. And so we have to really think carefully about what wisdom is. So here are some things that we know. This isn't from this passage in James, but just really briefly about what true wisdom is. First of all, you have to know God. You have to have a relationship with God in order to be truly wise. So Proverbs 1:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." A second thing we know about wisdom: wisdom is rooted in obeying God's commands in Scripture. Psalm 119 is just filled with praises for God's commands and how wonderful they are it is to live life by God's command. The third thing we know about wisdom, and this isn't directly from scriptural, but if you think about it, most of the decisions you make in life aren't either prohibited or commanded in Scripture. What to eat for dinner, what route to take to work, what restaurant to go to, all these things, there's no command given to us about those. So where's wisdom in that part of life? I think we grow in wisdom by obeying direct commands, definitely. Lots of prayer, praying about our day, about what our activities should be, and so forth. And by learning from both good and bad decisions we make. So the idea here is you go through life, you make a decision, it works out well, so next time you're in a similar situation, you might say, yeah, I think I'll do that again. If it doesn't work out well, you're probably gonna say, let's try something different this time. And there's this slow learning of wisdom by making decisions. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, and learning from them. And obviously, this kind of wisdom requires a lot of living. Like the longer you live, the more this kind of wisdom you're able to pick up. This idea of the line that's sloping upward or downward for eternity or for an infinite distance is helpful here. So the idea is that as time goes on, the impact of our decisions can grow. I'm sure we've all had experiences where you do something that you probably shouldn't have done, not much happens, and until it mushrooms into something much bigger. Lots of sitcoms are based on this, aren't they? So as time goes on, the impact of our decisions can grow for better or worse, and so we need to learn from our mistakes. Of course, if we've done something wrong, we need to repent, and we need to turn to Jesus in that situation. A fifth thing that we can learn from Scripture about wisdom is that the process of learning how to be wise, so obeying, praying, learning from our mistakes, this requires humility. In verse 13, James talks about the humility that comes from wisdom. Humility is obviously the opposite of boasting that he's already talked about in verse 14. And humility is a requirement for heavenly wisdom, and actually heavenly wisdom is a requirement for humility. They're both requirements for each other. It's a package deal. You really can't have wisdom without having humility, and you really can't have humility without having wisdom. All right, in verse 17, James talks about characteristics of heavenly wisdom. 17 and 18 read, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow peace reap a harvest of righteousness." So this is a list of characteristics of true heavenly wisdom. First of all, it's pure. So just a little analogy here, again, an imperfect analogy, but hopefully it's helpful. A glass of pure, clean spring water with a teaspoon of river water in it really isn't pure spring water, right? And so heavenly wisdom mixed with earthly wisdom really isn't heavenly wisdom anymore. It's pure. Heavenly wisdom is peace-loving. So true wisdom seeks peace, seeks unity. It doesn't enjoy creating conflict. It doesn't enjoy dividing people into factions or trying to one-up someone else in the church. Wisdom is peace-loving. It's considerate. Considerate means thinking of others, desiring their eternal good. Submissive. Heavenly wisdom is submissive, obviously to God, to God's commands, to those with authority, to consequences of real life. Someone who refuses to admit, every time I do this thing wrong, this horrible thing happens to me. They're not being submissive to reality, basically, right? They're not willing to listen to reality. So we need to be submissive. We need to be true heavenly wisdom is full of mercy. Mercy for others, just as God has shown mercy to us. Wisdom is full of good fruit. I think the fruit of the Spirit it's legitimate to look at that passage. And the image of fruit is taken up in the next verse in James, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. Wisdom is impartial, not favoring people that are in groups that you prefer, like based on class or status or race, level of education, or anything else like that. And finally, wisdom is sincere. In other words, fake wisdom simply isn't wisdom. All right, so what about verse 18? Verse 18 says, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." And I think we can go a little bit deeper with this. The construct used in this verse is common in the Bible. It's the if you sow this, you reap that. And there's multiple verses that use that. Here, those who work for peace reap righteousness or justice. This is at the heart of the gospel. Our biggest problem is that we're sinners, which puts us at enmity with God. So Jesus, reconciled us to God. He paid our debts, and he gave us the rewards for his perfect and holy life. So this heart of the gospel spills out into our relationships with each other as Christians. So we should value peace and good relationships, especially in the church, because Jesus valued relationship with us. So the main idea of this whole section on heavenly wisdom is that a biblical view of what is right and good and true and beautiful leads to a life truly well-lived, a life that is pleasing to God. All right, now what makes the difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom? What makes the difference? What makes us seek heavenly wisdom instead of earthly wisdom? What empowers us to do that? So let's look at verse 14 of James 3. He says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." And I really got hung up on that last word, the truth. What truth? Well, it certainly is talking about the truth that we might have bitter envy, that we might be selfish or have ambition, selfish ambition in our hearts. It certainly means that, but I think it points to the truth. I think it points to Christianity, to the gospel itself. Our indwelling sin makes us want earthly wisdom to be right. The sin within us wants earthly wisdom to be right and good and true. And we can kind of convince ourselves sometimes that it is. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. That's Ephesians 2:1. We aren't even alive to seeing the goodness of God and of heavenly wisdom. So the truth is, we need God to change our desires so that we're drawn to Him. So how does the gospel, how does Jesus lead us to heavenly wisdom? Well, it starts by us seeing Jesus' life as being beautiful, a life well lived. We see His character as something to aspire to. We want to be conformed to His image. So like 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So Jesus is the ultimate example of heavenly wisdom. Next, so how does the gospel lead us to heavenly wisdom? Next, we wonder and admire, are astonished at His mercy towards us and His love on the cross, so that we see mercy and love as desirable in our own lives. And mercy and love are incompatible with earthly wisdom, with boasting, with lying, with envy, with selfish ambition. It's incompatible. Love is incompatible with earthly wisdom. And so we see heavenly wisdom as desirable instead because of looking at, to Jesus. And how does the gospel lead us to Jesus? So first, we see Jesus' life as beautiful, an example. Second, we wonder at His love and mercy and makes us want to be loving and mercy. But then thirdly, in the gospel, Christians get a new destination. So we don't end up, remember the line sloping down or up? We don't end up where our trajectory points as Christians, do we? We get the results of Jesus' perfect life. Romans 8:29 says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." So we approach conformity with Jesus. That's where our trajectory in the gospel leads us. It doesn't lead us to where our mistakes and errors and sins would point to. Jesus steps in and says, "Yeah, you're wandering around down in this area, but this is where you're going." That's what Jesus has accomplished. So the desire the Spirit gives us to please God and to be like Jesus, the desire will be fulfilled. So He gives us this desire to be like Jesus. It will ultimately be fulfilled if we are in Christ. God credits Jesus' righteousness to us. We are like Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, quoting from Genesis, says, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." So we might still have to live with various consequences of our sin in this life, but God sees us ultimately with the righteousness of Jesus. All right, so in preparing for this sermon, I have certainly seen lots of earthly wisdom at work in my heart, and I've heard myself saying things to other people that I love, that I really couldn't call it heavenly wisdom. What do we do when we see lots of earthly wisdom in our lives, when we're really not living according to heavenly wisdom? What can we do? If you're not a Christian, the first step is to turn to Him, to Christ. Repent, start a new life in Christ. If you are in Christ, the urgent thing is to return to the cross. Return to Jesus over and over and over. Now is the time to return. Now is the time to repent. Come to Jesus. And then a third thing that we can do is we can thank God that in Christ he has changed our desires. So we wouldn't even want to have heavenly wisdom if God didn't change our hearts, right? So before, you didn't even desire heavenly wisdom. So thank God for a changed heart. And finally, thank God for heavenly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "It is because of him, because of God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. Jesus himself is our wisdom. So we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, so we can, without fear, come to Jesus. We can run to him. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this passage in James. We thank you for the gospel that it points to. We thank you that you are a God of wisdom. You are a God who changes hearts and gives us desires that that we didn't start with, that you want us to have. And once we have those desires, there's no turning back. There's no denying how desirable it is for us to be with you, to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. We pray that you will encourage us, that you will strengthen us, that you will give us heavenly wisdom and protect us from our any areas where we're pursuing earthly wisdom, that you'll show us our errors and give us a heart to repent and turn back to you. We thank you for your love and mercy shown us in the cross that makes all of this possible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.